As I mentioned, our brother Pat so aptly commented upon our elder brother, our Lord Jesus Christ. And to just share a few remarks this morning before partaking of the emblems, we meet around this table to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his shedding of blood, his death, and the reconciliation that happened as a result of this death. We also know, as our brother Pat referenced, that death was brought upon man by his own actions in the Garden of Eden. And now this man, we come to remember his sacrifice, Christ Jesus, created a path to everlasting life for himself and for those who would be baptized into his saving name. In Luke chapter 12, verse 40, our charge is given, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." Again, urgency, a word that our brother Pat used to set ourselves aside from the world and the importance of what we do each week when we meet around this table. 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, and 17 are familiar memory verses that explain to us what it means to be ready. "We are told from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And that all the Scriptures, the words that we have before us, are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and importantly, the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we could turn for a moment the words that we read each Sunday, but we'll read together from Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the words that we read together. And we want to talk about the synergy between the Old and the New Testament for just a moment. Beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning verse 23 through 29, we read, "For I have received of the Lord, which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took that cup and supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And so we are, in reading these words, reading words of instructions unto righteousness. We are following the commandment that we have been given. We spoke of the synergy that exists between the Old Testament and the New. The combined effect of them together is greater than their individual contribution. As an example, if we start in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 12, verse 13, it was written at a time when the institution of the Passover and the plagues in Egypt, and an example of the institution of the Passover and the shedding of blood, and the blood placed upon the doorpost. And while this annual feast celebrated today even recognizes the birth of Israel as a nation, the deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, more importantly, it focuses and points forward to a greater time, the deliverance from bondage of sin and death that we have through this sacrifice that we come to remember. 1 John 1:29, we read, "The day John seeth Jesus coming unto him saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the synergy, the sins of the world." Continuing about the continuity of scriptures, I would ask that for a moment you place your finger in two chapters, one Psalms 22 and one in Matthew 27, talking about the synergy and the importance, with just a few verses being quoted. Beginning in Psalms 22, in the very first verse, we read from the Psalmist of David, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" And of course, we have in the chapter in Matthew, we read the words of Christ, and that's in chapter 27, verse 46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why art thou, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Returning to Psalms 22, this time reading verses 7 and 8. "And they that see me laugh and scorn and shoot out the lip, they shake their heads, saying, He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Again, returning this time to Matthew 27, the 43rd verse, we read, "And he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." We have the words here from Christ. Returning again to Psalms 22, this time verse 18, "And they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Matthew 27, verse 35. "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet," the quote of what we just read in Psalms, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." It is, and now in those two comparative chapters, one in the old and the new, I think reflects that synergy that happens and the strength that develops as we look at the types that occur and then are brought to life. And thus gives us hope, hope in as we partake of these emblems, that what has been provided for us in the scriptures will in fact come to pass, which has been talked about on more than one occasion this weekend, and the close proximity to the world in total collapse and the return of our Lord Jesus. Returning now to Psalms, this time in turn to 119, which has really been in our readings of the past week, a short exhortation that was given to us that I think again reflects upon what our brother Pat was talking about, and that is the challenges we face of separating ourselves, separating our minds as we partake of these emblems from the world around us to do that which is life-giving that we so earnestly read about. Beginning verse 33 of 119, we read, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go to the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness." Again, this separation that has to occur, not just in our minds, but in our physical day-to-day activities. And this opportunity we have in peace and safety to meet around this table provides us that chance to refocus that which is important. Turn away that mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way, or revive me in the way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness, which is our very prayer. And so we have to take this opportunity to remove the shackles, if you would, of fleshly life and desires. We have made a step, the right step, when we chose to walk through the waters of baptism. We have made a choice to follow the commandments as we meet around this table this morning. Finally, in verses 66 and 67 of chapter 119, it says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments," a commandment which we now follow. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." And we have been able to do so, to look towards a chance for life everlasting, as we have now the sacrificial lamb that has provided a way for all of us. Let us, in keeping with the words that we read earlier from 1 Corinthians, now ask for a prayer for the bread, and we will follow the commandment to do so. I'll call upon Brother Bill Rott.
Yahweh, our kind, loving, and righteous Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee and thank Thee for this opportunity that we are able to gather together in quiet assembly to come to worship Thee in spirit and truth, and especially now to remember the life and death and sacrifice of our dear Lord, Thine only Son, Jesus the Christ. As we have been asked to assemble here each week to remember Him, we do so in partaking of the symbol set before us, and especially now this bread which we partake of, which we see as the life-giving bread that cometh down to give life to those who through faith and through knowledge partake thereof. We pray that as we see the symbol of this bread in the body of thy Son fully subjected to thy will, we pray that we might strive to dedicate our lives as well in service to thee. We pray that the time is soon when thy Son shall come from thy right hand in power and glory in this time to establish that kingdom upon this earth. And if it be thy will, that we might have a part therein. We pray that we are able to continue this service and memorial until that day. In all things we do pray through his name, our coming King and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
I'd now like to call upon our brother Sid Strickland for a word of prayer for the wine.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly come before thy throne of grace at this time to thank thee for the many blessings that we enjoy from thee daily. We thank thee especially now for the provision of thy Son. We recognize that in thy love for thy creation, thou didst provide a way of reconciliation through the gift of thy beloved Son. We thank thee for this great gift, and we are appreciative to him for his perfect obedience and his love for thee, in so much that he fulfilled thy will in every respect. We recognize that he demonstrated great self-sacrifice, legitimate love and concern for his brethren. And we pray that we may also strive to demonstrate that self-sacrificing consideration for one another as we walk towards thy kingdom. We thank thee for this cup of wine, which we acknowledge is a symbol of his life. Once again, a life wholly devoted unto thee and the fulfillment of thy will. We recognize that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we pray that each day we may live as he lived, in serving thee and being cognizant at all times of fulfilling thy will. We pray that you would be with all of our brothers and sisters as they meet around this memorial table. Be with each one as only thou canst do. Forgive us all of those things that we do amiss, and finally save us into that glorious age which will soon dawn upon this earth. For our prayer and our praises we offer to thee through thy beloved Son and our Savior, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.
After our prayer and closing hymn, we'll ask that you please remain seated for just a few moments for a few special reminders. And once the luncheon is prepared,